broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 6th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. To do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. It's got incredible checks and balances that chain down those who want to take power under themselves. We don't seek for power, ladies and gentlemen. We seek to pull it down. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, talk show host and more with me. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Sam, if I was doing any better, I couldn't stand it. Great to be back with you following another Super Tuesday. We got a history that goes back 8 years on Super Tuesdays, and always a fun time for us.
Man, I just laid low yesterday, Super Tuesday, spent some time with family and kept an eye on what was going on. And it's interesting. The big takeaway is Joe Biden, believe it or not, he's not even – I mean, I know he's supposed to be in these primaries and have his own kind of whatevers, and but he lost – this is very telling. This is you could say it doesn't matter and that it's an out-of-the-way thing and it's irrelevant, but I think it's very relevant. When we talk about close elections, this stuff matters because it really relates to the sentiments of the people regarding Joe. Now, what's this guy's name and where did he lose, James?
All right, so the headline from ABC News, and this made quite a bit of news, Joe Biden loses in the American Samoa Democratic Caucus, so their primary, to entrepreneur Jason Palmer, and even the establishment media, the controlled media, saying nobody in the world had ever heard of Jason Palmer before last night. Well, they heard about him now because he defeated sitting U.S. President Joe Biden in the American Samoa Democratic primary. So
now he lives here in the United States somewhere, though, not in a territory, not in Samoa. So what's fascinating to me is you say, well, no one's heard of Jason Palmer. I've heard of him, by the way, but most haven't. But how did the folks in Samoa hear about him? They may not even know about him if you were to do some kind of post-polling or whatever, exit polling, and get kind of an idea. Did they just say, anybody but Joe? Is that what really happened?
Well, see, that's interesting, Sam. I'm trying to catch up just like most of the general public here right now with regards to who Jason Palmer is. You knew more than I do. I just
figured
he was a local
businessman, entrepreneur guy. He's been around for quite some time. He shouldn't make this big of a splash, but I kind of think the people may not in Samoa know who the guy is either. They're just like, well, I don't know. I just know there's an opposition to Joe, and I'm taking it.
See, I was thinking he was just some local darling that was the pride of the island or something.
He's not even there. No.
So he doesn't even live there. Okay. No. I don't know why I would have thought he did live there. I guess Nikki Haley doesn't live in Vermont.
You're trying to make a reason why
that
could possibly make sense. That's why.
Okay. You're exactly right. But then again, you know, if you look on the other side, Nikki Haley gets thrashed in her home state of South Carolina. She won Vermont, but she doesn't live in Vermont. But yeah, I was thinking, okay, well, this guy's a local. They're kind of rallying behind a local guy. But no, so it wasn't even that. And as you said, I mean, you're only talking about a handful of people voting, and they don't even send electors or representatives to the convention. They can't cast, they can't send presidential electors in November. They can't even send representatives to the convention. But I think the symbolism here is what you're talking about. The symbolism isn't good, even though it's sort of like a throwaway, it doesn't count. It's a territory, not a state, and they're just sort of going through the motions out there. The symbolism of losing to a guy like this, even in a race where just a few votes were cast, just doesn't look good, especially when you're seeing all of these headlines on ABC, CBS, CNN, all of it saying, you know, Biden loses to this no-name. It's not a good look, no matter how you try to spin it. Inconsequential or not.
Yeah, they say, who is Jason Palmer, the guy that beat? I guess he was campaigning heavily there for some strange
American
reason.
Samoa.
Yeah. Anyway, he's the Democrat that beat Joe Biden in the primary. I kind of find it interesting, these territories. And so they have these kind of primaries. They can vote for president, but they don't get representatives. I mean, it's convoluted how this works. And I have a problem with this kind of territory status and this whatever, you know, like what is Puerto Rico, for example, you know, and what is, how do these all stack up, and, you know, they can vote for president but or whatever, but they don't have a representative in Congress, or say the Indian reservations or some of these things. And we've got these weird scenario setups. I think that needs to change. Jason Palmer, this guy is an entrepreneur, and he's not really that well known, but yeah. Now he is.
Well, it looks like he has worked for all of the, I would say all of the wrong people, not all the right people. He's worked for Microsoft, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, so he's part of that circle. He's a, you know, venture capitalist, New Markets Venture Partners, things like that, is some places he's worked at. And he campaigned heavily in American Samoa, not by even having visited there, but by doing these virtual town halls. It says that he also actually competed, you wouldn't know it, in Minnesota, Colorado, and Vermont primaries on Super Tuesday, but it was American Samoa where he really felt like he could break through, and he did.
Now, this guy was born in 71. He, I guess he's a resident of Baltimore, Maryland, James.
The plot thickens with every sentence.
So, yeah, you know, and this guy beat Joe. And then Barack Obama, not even in the race, but the, what do they call this? The undecided or the uncommitted or whatever. Had a significant blow against Joe as well. These are very telling. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to skip over this and be like, whatever, that's just a clown show. I don't think so. I think you're tapping into real sentiments. If you let people get their ideas in front of the American people, things change. And Jason proved it. Whether you like him or not, he got his information in front of the Samoan people. They loved it and voted for him, and Joe was gone. And this just highlights the new media taking center stage. This could have never happened 20 years ago, James.
Absolutely, because, yes, of course, it was completely locked out. I mean, you wouldn't have had the ability to reach people in Samoa. I mean, again, like I like to say, what would you do? Fly over there and put flyers on underneath windshield wipers on cars? I mean, that was pretty much what you were limited to before the age of the internet and mass communication as we know it now. But yeah, I do think, again, and to repeat myself, I think the symbolism of this isn't a good look. If I was Donald Trump, I'd make hay out of this for a cycle or two. I would certainly make mention of the fact that, hey, he thinks he can beat me. He can't even beat Jason Palmer. I'd mention it just as a joke.
I might even call Jason Palmer and see if he'd do a big old rally with me. You know, hey, Jason, let's just do a rally. And anybody but Joe. Anyway, so Jason beats Joe. I found that interesting. I think the repercussions, the takeaways, are the behind-the-scenes understanding of how this happened, what really happened. Look, the new media took center stage, put Jason in front of these people, and a nobody beat Joe. And then you look at the undecided, uncommitted, and it gets worse for Joe Fast, James.
Celebrating his victory, Joe Palmer says it feels great. He told ABC News this is the message
Jason
that Joe
Palmer,
Biden needs to hear. Jason Palmer, I'm sorry. This is the message that Joe Biden needs to hear, that the American people want to pass the torch to the next generation. And I thank the people of American Samoa for stepping up to make that statement for the rest of America. So, yeah, he's reveling in this, as
Amen.
He should. I mean,
he's reveling in it
the
as
sitting president.
It put his name on the, you know, maybe he'll end up in Joe's cabinet if Joe wins, right? Who knows? I'm just saying, very, very strange stuff. But, again, it's all because of the new media. And it's all because people just cannot take Joe anymore. They can't deal with it. Even the lock, stock, you know, Democrat people are just going, look, this guy cannot function. He cannot do the job. And, you know, admitting that is not a betrayal of your party or anything else. It's a candid acknowledgement that we need to get to. Now, Nikki Haley in the same position. She won the District of Criminals, and she was all excited because she won D.C., and I just think, wow, what a swamp monster statement. That's something that Joe could, Donald could use against Nikki big time, saying, yeah, you won the swamp, fine, so what? Now she won Vermont. Now, here's the interesting thing. I don't know if you know, but they don't even have sheriffs in Vermont. Did you know that?
Right, why she won. No, I didn't know that.
Well, it's because they're so liberal, they basically railroaded the sheriff completely out of office to where all they have is appointed police thugs now. They don't have normal constitutionally elected sheriffs or anything else. And so, you know, are you surprised that Vermont went for Nikki? I'm just telling you right now, the deep state goes for Nikki. Everybody else rejects her.
Yeah, I was surprised that she won anything or that was even competitive in anything. The District of Criminals, as you said, yeah, I mean, that is, again, the symbolism. I would be more excited to win American Samoa than D.C.
No doubt.
But, yeah, so that, I think, it's something, again, that Trump should point out, hey, only D.C. But the fact that she won Vermont is a little bit surprising, even though it's obviously a left-leaning state, and the conservatives there are going to be more left-leaning. So-called conservatives are going to probably be your garden variety liberal in most of the country. But, you know, a win's a win, and, you know, we can't say, hey, it's great to win American Samoa, but, you know, dismiss this. She won a primary, and not a lot of people can say that.
And for her, she should be celebrating for winning a primary. But here's the point. You've got Samoa, D.C., and Vermont that all say, really, no to Joe, right?
Well, I don't know if Vermont necessarily said no to Joe. I guess they said no to Trump, but...
No, they said yes to Nikki. Isn't that no for Joe? Hang tight. Well, let's skip the break. Let's just skip it. I don't even want breaks anymore. Skip them. All right, there you go. Let's just do that.
See, I like breaks. Sam's an animal, though. Sam's got bigger scores higher than mine.
Check this out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you right now. Here's the deal with Nikki. Here's how delusionary people really are. Independent committees have spent just over $4 million supporting Nikki Haley in the 15 states with their primaries and caucuses just recently. Far less than they did in the, quote, high-profile states or high-profile primary races. According to Federal Election Commission records, by comparison, outside groups spent $40 million boosting Haley in Iowa, $31 million supporting her in New Hampshire, $8 million to help her in her own home state of Carolina, South Carolina, where she lost a ton. Okay? Now, listen carefully. That means despite outside groups spending nearly $80 million across what? Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, she spent $80 million, and she lost huge. She lost each of them by more than double digits. Now, $80 million on her failed bid. I wonder how much Jason spent.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to appear to be covetous, but you look at, I have to make this point. I think it's a point that ought to be made, especially, again, you go back 8 years and you look at the million, this is no exaggeration, this time 8 years ago, and for the subsequent 6 months that followed, I would say that yours truly, Sam Bushman, and Liberty News Radio generated tens of millions of dollars in free publicity on a budget that I don't even know if it would buy shoestrings. I mean, this is obviously there's some funding here and we do great work with it, but it's pennies on the dollar, not even that to what you're talking about. And I wonder what some of this alternative media could do with the kind of funding that these people are just burning up. I mean, could you imagine having more money than sense and just burning tens of millions of dollars on Nikki Haley to just go out and lose by 80 points? I mean, in Tennessee, which voted on Super Tuesday yesterday, along with all of the other states that did, she got like 19% of the vote running in a one-on-one race. I mean, it's not like it was a crowded field of 12 people like you have early on. And I can understand, okay, if you're a left-leaning Republican, you're an establishment
liberal. I'm going to tell you how much I've spent on radio, James, just so you kind of have an idea.
Well, it's a lot. No telling how much.
I've been in radio for 27-plus years, and people have helped me with this number, so I don't think I came up with it all myself, although a significant portion is my own money. It's cost us between $2.5 million and $3 million to run my radio efforts from the time I started. I bought a radio station in 96. I ran it for 10 years. I was on the radio before that a little bit. So you've got basically 27 years, close to $3 million. It's about $100,000 a year. Close to $3 million.
Which is a lot. I'd say that's a lot.
But over 27 years, look what we've done with that. They spent $80 million, and look what they've done with Nikki. Almost virtually a laughing
stock.
That's the point. With 20-plus times, almost 30 times the money, James. Basically,
you really put it into perspective there. You really put it into perspective there. What you've done, $2 or $3 million over nearly three decades versus $80 million in just a few months, and for what? Now, I guess, and again, you just wonder what better stewards of such investments would do. Now, obviously, the people donating to Nikki would never think of donating to Liberty News Radio because it's two diametrically opposed philosophies. One's a hardcore liberal very liberal and in Republican clothing, and then, you know, one's obviously God, family, and country, and traditional constitutional conservative viewpoints. That doesn't correlate with Nikki, but you could certainly say people who have donated to more conservative candidates would have gotten a better bang for their buck going outside the box. But anyway, yeah, so I think she was holding on to hope, or, unless she's just the sorest loser in the history of presidential politics. She was holding on to the hope that perhaps Trump would be put into prison, perhaps he would be disqualified from running, but the Supreme Court, of course, came down yesterday in a unanimous decision, which even surprised me. I guess they're trying to, it was just so ridiculous, they're trying to
find that there's a rule of law.
Unreal. And so he's not getting thrown off the ballot, and the people prosecuting him are so criminally corrupt. Now they're embroiled, especially in places like Atlanta, they're embroiled in their own trials now over corruption and malfeasance. So, you know, he's catching all the breaks. So if Haley was hopeful that something would go tragically wrong for Trump, prison or being thrown off the ballot, it's not happening. So the fact that she continues to stay in the race is even more head-scratching.
I told you old Donald would be fine.
You sure did. You
yeah,
did. You called
like,
him a few
no,
weeks
he's
ago.
Toast. He's put him in cuffs. He's toast. He's got. I don't think so. I just don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. What would happen in America now when you have this many primaries? He's already got, what, 900-plus delegates, and he has to have, what, 12, 15 to win?
I don't know exactly how many it is. Hang on one second, Sam. I'll tell you in a second. I'll be right back.
All right. He literally, though, has over 900-plus delegates right now, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that is very, very significant. They say that no one likes Donald. Everybody hates him. He's a criminal. He's going to jail, all this kind of stuff. But they spent $80+ million on Nikki and an absolute complete failure. All right. And while that's going on, Bitcoin defies expectations, breaches 69K. So I don't even know how to respond to this, but Bitcoin's back with a fervor. I always say don't dip your toe in the crypto because I don't think it's wise to invest in not only fake currencies, but fiat 1984 kind of currencies that could be changed on a computer. Oh, I know they say it's got a bit, you know, blockchain and you can't, you know, have problems with it. It's transparent as could be. It's not, folks. There's a lot of caveats to that. But anyway, so Bitcoin literally at an all-time high. Nikki Haley spent $80 million to just absolutely blow up. I mean, this is not good for her at all. It's just going on. But here's the other thing that I find interesting for Super Tuesday. Meta got hit by widespread outage. Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Messenger all hit on Super Tuesday. And do you find that interesting at all? I kind of find it interesting. Nikki Haley bows out after crushing Super Tuesday. But now, this widespread outage on Tuesday. Was that intentional, do you think? I don't know what the relationship would be. I don't know why they would do this. But I don't believe that it's just a coincidence that on Super Tuesday, Meta, of all groups, just melted down. It's a big, big, big problem. And some of the outage is still going on. You go to a down detector in other places and stuff like that. Just a massive outage. Again, what, a week before that, AT&T had a massive outage. AT&T told you that it was internal. I tell you they're lying to you. How do I know? Because it affected T-Mobile and all kinds of outside organizations. They never gave a sufficient explanation for the outage at AT&T either. They're not giving an appropriate explanation for the outage at now Meta. And you kind of got to ask yourself that question and say, so let me get this right. AT&T, the core of communications in America, and Meta, the core of social media in America, for the most part, not counting rogue, you know, Elon Musk, etc., with Twitter or X, these two core companies within a week of each other just absolutely have an unexplained meltdown, unexplained, complete, wall-to-wall, just crazy outage? I'm not buying it, folks. I'm not buying that that's just the deal. Are you buying that? I am certainly not. All right, James, are we back? All right, we'll get James back here in just a minute. Lizzie, I want you to see if you can find this. Charles Barkley threatened to punch black Donald Trump supporters. Hopefully you can get this. It forces CNN in a damage control mode like you wouldn't believe. Charles Barkley's threats to, he didn't say just punch Trump supporters. I think he said he was going to punch black Trump supporters. We're going to have to get the details on this. But I just look at this and I just say, this is crazy. This literally puts CNN in a complete meltdown. I mean, the host with Charles Barkley was just like, Charles, you can't do that. You can't say that. He said, yes, I can and I will. All right, do you got that handy, Liz? All right, Liz is looking for this soundbite. I used it yesterday on the Sheriff Mac TV show, but I wanna reiterate this because I find this interesting. All this is unfolding in the middle of basically the election, Super Tuesday, all this stuff going on. It's gonna get more rowdy as time goes on, folks. I don't want any violence. Charles Barkley, shame on you for promoting violence. I get all those things, but I look at it and go, is this a, I don't know what you call it, a foreshadowing of what's to come? This threat of violence by Charles Barkley and, you know, all this stuff? I don't know. I don't want any violence, but I see it happening. Here is the soundbite of Charles Barkley threatening to punch black Trump supporters if he sees them on site. Just flat out go up and punch them in the face. You don't mean that, Charles, black, do you? Oh, yes, I do. Here he is.
Person walking around with Trump mugs, had him to punch him in the face.
Charles, okay, you really can't say that because, A, you don't mean
start
that.
Go ahead.
Walking around with Trump mugs, had him to punch him in the face.
Charles, you really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely.
Is that the end of it? All right, so start it over. I think it cuts in. It doesn't say who he's going to punch, right?
If I see, tell you.
See a black person walking around with Trump mugs, tell him to punch him in the face.
Charles, you really
so
can't.
That's what I'm saying. See, he literally says, if I see a black person walking around with Trump, I don't know what you call it, Trump promotion on their body or Trump, I'm going to just flat out punch him in the face, says Charles Barkley. This is insanity, folks. It sends CNN in damage control mode. But look, why are they going to fire Charles Barkley? Can he say that? Is that black on black crime threats? Is Charles going to be arrested? I mean, you got to wonder this kind of stuff, right? James, are you with me?
I am with you. And I saw this, and pardon the obviously unusual. I had to step away. It was a phone call. It actually involved you. Good news. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Anyway, yeah, I saw this. So Charles Barkley, of course, NBA all-star, kind of a legend. He's one of the more well-known basketball players from the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s. And obviously since then, he has become a commentator on TNT, one of the Turner networks, and is probably one of the most well-known basketball commentators. He is known for his outlandish and sometimes buffoonic takes on things, over-the-top commentary, kind of clownish. But, you know, he's got a market. There's a market there for that. But he also gets involved in politics from time to time. I remember he's from Alabama. He was born in Alabama, played for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Phoenix Suns and the Houston Rockets before going into commentary. And he was from Alabama, and I remember when Roy Moore, the great Judge Moore, was running for Senate in Alabama, he said things like this then, too, and how embarrassed he was for Alabama. I mean, you know, God forbid you have a Christian conservative that would represent a state of majority Christian conservatives and things like that. But this is really sort of next level. You already have so much problem with crime in the black community. I mean, could you imagine a white politician saying they're going to punch anybody, you know, any black person that's, you know, wearing this or doing
that. Or a white
that.
Person to make it equal.
Or a white person. But, I mean, a black says this and, you know, no big deal. I mean, there's definitely some blowback. Is he going to get fired? Not a chance. You wait and see, hide and watch. No chance.
Oh, he won't, but he should. You can't threaten just
sure
to flat
should.
Out punch people and then the host calls you on the carpet and says, listen, you don't really mean that. And then he could have said, oh, no, I mean it figuratively. I'm just frustrated. Or no, he said, look, I'm serious. Let me talk about this more. Hold on.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Super Tuesday 2024 presidential primary elections are now in the books. USA's Laura Winters has a rundown of the results.
Biden wins. The campaign issues a written statement. A small percentage of Democrat voters opting for the uncommitted candidate. The president is busy prepping and scheduled to give the State of the Union speech Thursday night on Capitol Hill. Now, as for the Republicans, former President Trump taking to the podium, speaking to supporters at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, Trump winning 14 states and American Samoa, Nikki Haley winning Vermont.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one.
I'm Laura Winters.
News developing early Wednesday, Nikki Haley reportedly deciding to drop out of the race. An independent voice in the U.S. Senate has decided to call it quits. USA's John Schaefer with details.
Arizona's independent senator Kyrsten Sinema announced Tuesday through a social media video that she will be stepping down from her position at the close of the year.
Because I choose civility, understanding, listening, working together to get stuff done, I will leave the Senate at the end of this year.
Her decision not to pursue re-election has significant implications for the Senate.
Wall Street took a significant downturn Tuesday, largely due to a sell-off in the tech sector. Apple, Netflix, and Microsoft all experienced notable declines, dragging down the major indices by over 1% each for the day. The closing bell rang. The NASDAQ had fallen 268. In January, new orders for manufactured goods decreased for the second consecutive month, with the Commerce Department reporting a $21 billion decline following a slight decrease in December. Unfilled orders saw a slight increase of just over $2 billion in January. Meanwhile, inventories of manufactured durable goods continued to rise for the sixth consecutive month. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, we're talking about two stories simultaneously. I'm talking about how on Super Tuesday, Facebook, Meta, Instagram, Threads, Messenger all hit on Super Tuesday. A week before that, they said AT&T went down. They never gave an explanation. They just said it was internal. But how did it affect all kinds of other companies then if it was internal? They're lying to you. Now we have no explanation for Meta being down. Meanwhile, Charles Barkley threatened to punch black supporters in the face, forces CNN into damage control mode. Here's the exchange. It wasn't like he just said, no, look, I'm really frustrated. I'm talking about metaphorically, or I'm talking about, you know, anecdotal or whatever. No, the host called him out, and he doubled down with a literal violent threat against any black person that happens to be promoting Trump in any way. Charles is going to flat out just punch him in the face. He doesn't care if he gets arrested. He'll just bail out and celebrate. Here he is.
You see black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
When you heard that, what did you think? Big sigh.
I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugs, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm going to just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm going to bail myself out and go celebrate.
Don't encourage him. Okay, but go ahead.
Seriously.
Continue.
Now pause. Don't encourage him. Continue. Okay, this is by the way, scripted and set up 100%. This was intentional for ratings, folks. Write it down. Anyway, here's the rest of his statement.
At that
conference,
yeah. I'd have got up and walked out. That was an insult to all black people, mm-hmm. because it's not a fair comparison. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a billionaire. He's had a great life. He's been president of the United States. To insult black people who have been discriminated against all these years, to put them in the same category, I was just offended.
What's he even talking about? Same category as what? All Trump said was black people are now supporting me. They're not supporting Joe Biden. And they're supporting me because they're starting to realize what's going on. They're starting to think a little different. Literally, Charles Barkley melts down. But I submit to you that was not a live. Charles surprised the host. Like you think scenario that was scripted and intentional, James.
That's interesting. I don't know.
Don't encourage him to the audience, and then you encourage him and say, continue, buddy. The floor's yours.
Well, I mean, maybe just continue to talk, but it's entirely possible. It seemed to me that she was trying to divert him from saying those things. That how seriously and how half-hearted she was attempting to do that could be debated. But, I mean, you got to understand Charles Barkley. Anybody who's ever listened to Charles Barkley, anybody who's followed basketball as I have over the course of my life, having played basketball in high school and always been a fan of the sport, he's not very intelligent. I mean, he is on just because he says things that are outlandish and his inability to even articulate things.
Yeah, but
is what
but
it makes
look,
him
if it was
endearing.
Me that said that, the FBI would be at my house right
yeah,
now.
Well, now that's another thing, though. But so obviously, this is something extra. This is next level for him, and for anyone really. Saying you're going to punch a guy in the face for voting for someone that you don't like, and this is another question though that I think has to be asked. You know, of course, if you were seriously interviewing Charles Barkley, with which this woman obviously was not. This was just a now. I will say this: this was definitely just a softball. Have Charles on for ratings, and you know he'll make people laugh because he's kind of silly. I don't know if they were expecting this. You say that maybe they were, but nevertheless, if you were seriously interviewing Charles Barkley, you'd say, Charles, just to be honest, why are you opposed to Donald Trump? What has Donald Trump done to you?
But we're not even talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about black supporters of Donald Trump. Now, let me explain my take on this, because this is a little behind the scenes thing. I believe this is a public, blatant, via the mainstream news threat to any black person that might decide to jump off the reservation
absolutely.
Or leave the plantation and possibly vote for Trump. It's a veiled threat to say, don't you dare, Charles will punch you, or hint, hint, how many other hood-style Charleses are there everywhere in America that will punch you? Okay, this is not by accident. This is not a clown show. This is a real, hostile, threat that might have copycats all across the country. It's a veiled threat to any black person that might cross these lines, James. Let's be very bold and clear about this. Otherwise, encourage him. By the way, continue, please. Go ahead and promote your violence and your hostile, hate-filled, psychotic, satanic agenda. Please go ahead, sir. You don't do that.
We're the racists.
Wait. You go celebrate. But is that just because you have as much money as Donald Trump does, Charles? Why would you just celebrate? Nobody else would break the law like that and go crazy like that and not even care. Not only are you threatening someone, but you're literally saying, even separate from the punching someone, I'm just going to violate the law with impunity. I don't care. It got away with it on national TV.
He may even have more liquidity after some of these judgments here, but everything you're saying is right, Sam. Number one, I mean, Charles Barkley obviously wouldn't really do this. He's flexing.
We don't know if he would or not.
I doubt it, but there are no shortage.
Now, you watch James O'Keefe will send a black guy to get punched in the face by Charles. You watch.
It would be interesting to see what really happened. I believe he would mock him and cuss him and things like that. Who knows what he would do? I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, certainly a guy with not a high IQ, and obviously he doesn't have a lot of impulse control if you listen to this interview. But I will tell you this, there are at least now two or three generations of blacks who have been raised and just suckled on anti-white hatred since the day they were born, and you better believe that something like this could occur. Obviously, the not-so-subtle message is, if you're black, you better stay on the reservation, you better vote for the guy that we approve, you can't think for yourself. And I would say, Charles, this is what I was getting to a moment ago, what don't you like about Trump? Because, you know, to me, Sam, I'm looking at Trump, and he literally chose to peddle this ridiculous platinum plan back in his first re-election bid in 2020 against Biden. He would have rather lost the race, and he did, by peddling this thing that alienated his base, you know, getting out, you know, black rappers like, I can't even remember, Aesop Rocky, whatever his name was, you know, doing all of this stuff to pander to the black community. I've seen a lot of pandering from Trump to the black community. I certainly haven't ever heard him say anything that would, even by the loosest terms of understanding, be considered to be racist against the black community. Now, I know that they call him a racist every day, but I would ask Charles Barkley. I know every article that's ever been written about Trump, he's a racist, he's a white supremacist. I get it. Same for me and you, same for everybody. But I would ask Charles, what has he actually done to the black community that has risen to this level where you would physically assault somebody over their support for Donald Trump?
Well, and here's my question. If you're black, let's just say you're an American and you're black right now, okay? Who are your choices for president? And I submit to you, it's the same as anybody else. White, black, doesn't matter. You have the same choices for president, and you can vote for what, Donald or Joe? Is Charles Barkley saying you better vote for Joe or I'll punch you?
I mean, he specifically said it would be if they were black Trump supporters, he would punch them. I don't know if that, you know, that's he'd right. have a lot of people to punch if he's going to punch all the white Trump supporters.
But this is another thing. So is voting for Joe better than voting for Donald? How is Joe better than Donald? Joe's had more gaffes against blacks than Donald has, by far.
I think so. That's interesting. Of course, this whole thing is just a fool's errand anyway. The Republicans have been trying to get double-digit support for the black community for all of our lifetimes and beyond. And I even wrote a chapter in my book, Racism Schmacism, There's a Pot of Black Republicans at the End of the Rainbow. It's not going to happen. It's just, I mean, Trump did do marginally better, and I stress the word marginally, in 2020 with African Americans, but at the expense of his actual base, which is far more numerous. And so I have no problem with blacks coming over and voting for Donald Trump, but I just think all of this attention to it, there's no evidence that it's ever really going to happen in a substantial way. If the Republicans got 15% of the black vote, it would be unimaginably phenomenal for them.
Well, let me ask you the next question. Why didn't the host dig in a little bit more and say, Charles, if a white person supports Donald, are you going to punch them too, or is this just black people? Are you racist?
See, now that's what a real host would do.
What's going on here?
Well,
why would you punch a black person but not a white person? Now, if you saw Donald, would you punch Donald in the face? He's the leader of the MAGA, right?
Yeah, see, this is you're talking about a softball puff piece interview. They have Charles Barkley on because, again, he's he gives these takes that always are newsworthy for one way or another. He's just known for this, not necessarily for advocating violence or for actively saying he is serious when he says he'll assault anybody that does something he doesn't like, but he is known for this kind of buffoonery at large. And so CNN was having him on to boost ratings and hope that he would say some outlandish things. I don't think they necessarily knew he was going to go that far, but that he knew what he was being brought on to do. He gave it to him in spades.
It was all planned.
Either way, it doesn't change the fact that whether it was planned or whether it was just him being him, it doesn't change the fact that what he said is what he said. He said what he said, and it'll be interesting to see the repercussions from it. I am telling you, well, he's got a contract with CNN for tens of millions of dollars, TNT to do Inside the NBA. He's been on there for decades, for tens of millions of dollars. People get fired no matter who they are, no matter what their contract is, all the time for saying anything. I mean, if you say anything that's even halfway politically incorrect, you can get fired from your job no matter who you are, CEO, movie star, whatever. So that's not enough to necessarily shield him, although he will be shielded because he's a protected minority. Let's just say it.
Now, here's the deal. I typed in Charlie.
You know, Roseanne
Barkley
lost
fired.
Her entire show. Roseanne was leading that revival of Roseanne. I mean, that was one of the biggest rated shows in the country. And she said one thing about somebody looking like a monkey, and they fired her from her own show. I mean, she is Roseanne. So they can do it to Barkley, too, but they won't.
And all I can find when I look up Charles Barkley fired is it's unlikely that Charles will be fired.
Well,
I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand how that can stand. Where are the Republicans and where are the conservatives to say this is unacceptable? See, if the opposite was true, they'd be howling to fire Sam Bushman or to fire James Edwards or to fire Roseanne Barr, whoever. Okay, if the tables were turned, if Barkley wasn't in a protected class, one protected because he acts like his race has been downtrodden forever, but I ask him to compare my bank account and his bank account and see who's been discriminated against. Okay, so Charles is just, look, he's got plenty of money. He's mocking Donald for having plenty of money. America has given both of them plenty of money, right? Donald and Charles.
This is, I just Googled this, Sam. Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, Barkley may very well have more money than Trump now. Who knows? But I will say this. I just did a Google News search for Charles Barkley. Not a lot of coverage. Not what you would expect. I mean, a lot of second-tier stuff there is. Okay, USA Today, Yahoo. But it's all matter of fact. Charles Barkley says he'll punch any black person he sees wearing a Trump mugshot shirt. That's the headline. Charles, the story begins. Charles Barkley didn't mince words when responding to Donald Trump's latest commentary on black people. So it's like, oh yeah, he spoke truth to power. He's going to take matters to his own. It's none of it. I mean, certainly no articles really condemning him. There's a Fox News thing.
And I have a problem with it. And that's why I'm spending so much time on it. I'm condemning it. I'm condemning violence from anyone to anyone. James?
Not a lot of coverage on this at all. Not a lot at all. It's being brushed under the rug. Fox News has something. Congressman Wesley Hunt, I never even heard of him. He looks to be a black Republican, fires back at Barkley. But, I mean, there's very little compared to what he said. I mean, you're actively talking about not just threatening. Well, I guess he's threatening, but he's really promising. He said yes, because she even gave him an opportunity to kind of walk it back and say, oh, yeah, I'm just, like as you said, Sam, I'm just frustrated. Didn't do that. He said, no, I'm very serious, and if I go to jail, I'll bail myself out and then celebrate. I mean, that's about as flaunting it as you can get. And very interesting to see the media not taking this, not running with this.
The FBI stand down.
Cover.
Where's the FBI on this thing? I'm
telling
you
right now, if
somebody
else's
chart. House, they'd bust in at 6 a.m. in the morning with a battering ram and the media there, wouldn't they?
It's the media narrative chart. He is not. He doesn't fit the narrative, and so he can say these things, and perhaps he'll certainly even do these things.
All right. Kristen Sinema of Arizona says imminent retirement from the Senate. Patrick Houck with the piece. She says she's out. She's not running again. And that leaves the door open for a flat-out hand-to-hand combat contest. I'm talking election-wise, not physically here.
you got to stress it these days.
Yeah. Ruben Galito, or however you say his name, is in a one-to-one race now with Carrie Lake in November. kind of interesting how she's bowing out, and a lot of Republicans are leaving town, James.
You're talking about Kristen Sinema. I mean, you know, she was always like Manchin, sort of a maverick. I mean, she actually did some things that were helpful for a time there in the early part of the COVID era, I believe it was, where she would break ranks with the Democratic establishment, which was good. And, you know, so she's stepping down. I guess it'll just depend on who fills her slot. If you got somebody like Carrie Lake in there, it's going to be a net gain. If you get a Democrat in there Arizona pivots on a knife's edge. Arizona pivots on a knife's edge with regards to which way it's going to turn.
Not anymore. They've got so many illegals in. I don't think it's a knife's edge anymore, James.
Well, see, there's that to consider. But so, I mean, if she steps down and you get Carrie Lake in there, then it's a plus. If you step down and you get a hardcore woke Democrat in, certainly more to the left on everything. I mean, she at least had the ability to think for herself, and anybody who will do things outside of what the norms are for their position, and she was certainly that. She would swim against the tide on certain things. You know, that's somebody I can respect, at least on that level. So, yeah, it is interesting. I mean, obviously she was running as an independent now, which was just a non-starter, as everybody knows in America, unfortunately. You just got to be between one of the two sides of the duopoly in order to have a chance to win in
a
race like that.
That's why warned against parties in the first place, but there you go.
That's right. That's right. Now, if you're running in a nonpartisan race for, you know, town council or something, you can get in being either or nothing, either of the two or none of the above. But her trying to run for a United States Senate seat as an independent, just not really going to happen. And
yeah, you're right about that fact. Look at RFK Jr. You know, he's in that situation right now, struggling for votes, struggling to get on the ballot, struggling for all these different reasons. And I think he's quite likable. I would consider him for president more so than almost everybody else that I hear of at this time. But it gets worse because Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs now vetoed a bill on Monday that would have allowed law enforcement to arrest migrants crossing the southern border into Arizona illegally. I guess it was SB 1231, also known as the, quote, Arizona Border Invasion Act, would allow authorities to arrest migrants crossing the southern border through unlawful ports of entry, etc. And it goes on. But the bottom line is, hey, she shut it down. They wanted 6 year or 6 month term for the first offense, more after that, 2 years or whatever. Anyway, bottom line is, one single person, Katie Hobbs, shut the bill down after passage. They were ready to get serious about the border and got shut down by a single-handed, in my opinion, very liberal governor.
We had a really good, well, it just goes to show as well how important things like this are, especially in states like that that are the first line of defense to this invasion. You're talking about New Mexico, Arizona, Texas. Obviously, California's a lost cause. Now, and I would say this very quickly. I mean, there are outliers that you can point to in running as an independent. Jesse Ventura famously was governor of Minnesota as a Reform Party, or as an independent, I should say, independent. But it's just not going to happen in Arizona, not now. I mean, that was a totally different time than where we are now in this polarized country of ours in 2024. So Sinema's gone. And, yeah, we had a fantastic, right out a month ago, a fantastic conversation about the border on my program here on this network on Saturday night. Congressman Steve King and Congressman Steve
Stockman. By the way,
Steve
that Stockman is thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you want to listen anytime, it's available on demand at your fingertips or Saturday Night Live, thepoliticalcesspool.org. James?
Thank you, Sam. And there it was, where we had Congressman Steve King and Steve Stockman from Texas talking about the Texas border crisis. You got to remember, I mean, this thing really piped up back in late January, where essentially Governor Abbott of Texas said he was going to defy the federal government, and Biden, for all intents and purposes, backed down. But one thing that was said during that interview was, as good as it was, that all of these Republican states, all of these Republican governors, if you can remember, a month ago is a lifetime ago in politics. People have forgotten about this now because the news cycle has passed. But there was, at the time, just a month ago, the governors of the 25 Republican states, 25 state governors, saying they would send their national guards, their state guards down to protect the border if Biden tried to federalize the troops. So this was about as close as you could get to a confrontation, states versus D.C., as you've had in a long, long time. at least since the 1960s, if not the 1860s. But one of the things that the congressman said, though, as good as this is for Texas, it's all going to, they're just going to redirect it. This isn't going to solve the problem. They're going to redirect it to Arizona. And now here a month later, they're right on. Prescient.
It's interesting to see where we're going to go with this. There's some late breaking news. Is Nikki going to endorse Donald?
Is that what they're saying now after that monumental upset? I mean, you got to understand, folks, we're live right now. The Super Tuesday was just last night. So in the time that we've gone on, now we're here into the, you know, well into the morning hours on the East Coast. The day after Super Tuesday, it's entirely possible that there could be some activity on the Haley campaign after a thrashing like she got last night. What are they saying, Sam?
I don't know.
Yeah, 9 minutes ago, Wall Street Journal.
Right before this, she said that, hey, she's under no obligation to endorse Trump, and now?
Well, now what they're saying, so again, I said at the top of this hour, why is she continuing? Either she's the sorest loser in the history of presidential politics, or she was hoping that Trump would get thrown off the ballot or put in prison. And you just had the Trump win at the Supreme Court. Now, 9 minutes ago, so about 40 minutes after I said that, Wall Street Journal headline, Nikki Haley exits Republican presidential race. So within this hour, since we started on the air, Nikki Haley has suspended her presidential campaign. She is out. It is over.
And now she says she might be reversing her decision. She may be supporting Donald.
I have not seen that headline yet. I will dig deeper. I mean, all of this obviously is breaking as we are speaking.
Yeah. Anyway, very, very interesting to say this. You also wonder, what about Mitch? Unexpected senator endorses Trump. Is it Mitch McConnell? We are grabbing some of this news straight out, ladies and gentlemen, live.
I got it right here, Sam. 28 minutes ago, the headline is Mitch McConnell, who just stepped down from the longest tenure as a speaker in the history of American politics. He's stepping down as Speaker of the Senate, or Senate Majority Leader is what they call him, Senate Majority Leader. 28 minutes ago, headline, Mitch McConnell endorses Trump for president as Haley suspends campaign. Now, of course, Trump and Deep State Mitch have had their problems over the years. Another headline 29 minutes ago, all within this hour, South Carolina's Nikki Haley does not endorse Trump as she leaves 2024 GOP presidential race. So at least not yet.
But now they're intimating that, you know what, she might be changing her mind. What good's it going to do her to go against Trump this whole time and just hold out? And what good's that going to do versus at some point, if she rejects the party and she rejects endorsing the primary winner, at some point she risks just going so against the party that her career is completely over, James.
Well, here's another headline.
She will rethink this, I promise you.
Another headline right now, Nikki Haley suggests she won't endorse Trump, but she's a shameless Republican, so who knows? That's Vanity Fair. Yeah, I mean, you know these people are sociopaths, Sam. And even though there is no doubt that she doesn't have much in common with Trump on the issues, would she bargain that for some sort of a position, for an ambassadorship, for something that can line her pockets? Yeah, probably. I mean, because principles are nothing to so many of these people. So I could see her endorsing it as in some sort of a quid pro quo. Would Trump entertain that at this point? Would he give her something to do it? I think she'd have to be given something to do it. We'll see. I mean, this is all happening.
If I was Trump, I would start to mock her now and just say, listen, her career is over. She has rejected the Republican Party. She has rejected the process that nominates who we pick for president. She's rejected the will of the people. If I was Donald, I would absolutely quintuple down on this right now. Even
he
can bury her senses, and where's Nikki?
He can bury her right now and end her for good, or he can keep her alive and resuscitate her and give her some backwater position somewhere to keep her active. We'll see.
And my bet is
done.
Donald. And my bet is Donald doubles down in defense of Nikki, just like he did Hillary and everybody else.
I think so. I would bet on that.
Hour two coming up. James Edwards with me. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love. God save the Republic of the United States of America.